freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
It's time to hear the other side of the news.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up. Every station is a gentrification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. But do we even know who plants the seeds? You think the media works for you, but it's a job for them. They're just selling fruit.
The other side of the news.
Ignorance grows on the spirit like a tumor. Till freedom is a rumor.
This week we want to talk a little bit more about the Jobs Now program. It's an inherited program pulled from BC from a company called WCG International. That's a telephone kind of data mining company that calls themselves a researcher for human resources. They're based in Victoria. They started out in 1995. Out in BC, this very same program is called Jobs Wave. So I went looking for some background, since that program's been going for 10 years now, to find out how well it worked, how effective it was in actually finding jobs. And what I found was mostly what I expected and what I was concerned about. We contacted an advocate at one of the legal clinics in Revelstoke, BC. We have an interview with her coming up shortly. What she had to say was good advice for us to listen to here in this province, but it reminded me more and more about what happened when Anderson Consulting was brought in to help cut back Ontario's welfare numbers. There's a lot of good news about the WCG program out there. That's what convinced our Ministry of Social Services, Sandra Pupatello, to investigate them and listen to what they had to say. They claim they've gotten 30,000 people back to work. They claim they can find jobs. Some other stats I question, though. In their own webpage, they, of course, say all the great things about their program. And some of the things that they have said is that the average wage of a JobWave client is $11.49. You'll find later in our conversation that's not quite true. A few other places to check about reports on what's really going on with this program. You might want to check into the Social Research and Planning Council of BC and the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives in BC. We've been told in various cities and locations in Ontario that we're going to accept this Jobs Now program. It's a pilot program. That means it's basically research. You have to do it. There is no choice. It's about a two-year situation. Both municipal and provincial government have basically given strong directives to our Department of Social and Community Services that we will be using Jobs Now here. There are six communities that are pilot sites, as they like to call them, in Ontario for these programs. And along with Hamilton, we have Ottawa, Windsor, Nipissing, Peel, and Durham. Once again, the government is following a pattern of what's working in another area. They've got lots of research in their own area, but rather than find the answers from their own area, they look around, find a quick fix, throw some money at it, force it at the social services department, and force people that are on welfare through the system. Even by the comments I heard at the meeting in Hamilton here, most of the jobs that they're finding are income levels of minimum wage, low wage, service sector jobs. I don't really count that as a good way to find a job. Most students and semi-retired people rely on that part-time, which is what they're for, to supplement your income. You can't live off of $6 an hour, which is what minimum wage is out in British Columbia. You won't survive. This interview is with Alice Daniels. She's with an advocacy firm in Revelstoke, BC. She, too, is disabled. She's been doing this kind of work for quite some time now.
See, even if you go to register for assistance and go through their protocol, they immediately connect you with one of them, one of the job programs. It could be Job Now. It could be any one of the other ones.
So you have seven different working programs for the welfare people out there?
Yes.
Wow. Why is that?
And none of them work for everybody.
None of them work for everybody. It sounds like a big waste of money to me, but...
Well, I have to agree. And I know the other advocates agree.
Sounds silly. Absolutely silly. So you have seven different job placement companies working in conjunction with your welfare office, which is the Ministry of BC,
yep.
Right?
Ministry of Human Resources.
In British Columbia. How
yep.
long has that been in place?
Well, the biggest changes started in April of 2002.
And why was that? Change of government?
Yes.
And what government change was there?
It went from NDP to Liberal.
Mm-hmm. And the Liberal, what, copied what was happening someplace else?
See, and we've never been given a clear definition on that either.
Hmm.
All we know is he wanted thousands and thousands and thousands of people off the system, and he was going to do it whichever way he could, and he did.
Would you mind to name the minister or the...
Minister for Human Resources here?
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure yet, because we just had an election.
You don't know?
No, we don't know who it'll be, because we just had an election.
Wasn't there another election before, though, when you said these programs were started and put in place? 2003. Who was the minister then? The Liberal candidate, though.
Okay, let me see, because it switched like six times.
Wow.
Who was the last one? You know what? I can't remember who the last one was. I know who the original one was at the very beginning.
Okay, who was that was the one that instigated this program, right?
No, actually, our premier did. I mean, yeah, our premier did.
Okay.
He actually overseen the changes.
Yep.
So, and that was Gordon Campbell.
Yep.
And he basically just told the minister what it was going to look like.
So it was a directive handed down to the chain of command. There was no consultation. There was no research. It was just a directive. Is that what you're saying?
That's how it looked to all of us, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you couldn't really access any information about anything for the longest time.
You got to wonder about that, you know. When you have a social program that's being funded, well, is your program being funded by the taxpayers or by the municipal tax levy or the provincial government?
Both.
Both. Is there a percentage that it breaks down to?
No.
Okay. So I'm not quite sure how much the province pays towards social services and how much the municipal government pays.
I don't think the municipal piece is a whole lot because right now the municipal places are fighting with the government, provincial and federal. So if I remember right, at that particular time there wasn't a whole lot that was
being handed down.
Piece.
Yes, here we have to dance for the money. The municipality has to, well, they're told what they're going to do with the money that the province allows them to use, which is, I think...
Yeah, and they've been trying to do that here, too.
Mm-hmm. So there really is no control from the local social welfare office.
And see, we don't have a local human resources office here. That was part of the cutbacks.
Wow. So what do people
have
do?
We have a call center we have to use.
And was that another Anderson consulting thing brought in?
I'm not... From our perspective, it looked more like it was an overall, like, we're going to cut administrative costs, and this is how we're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
without any consulting with anybody.
Yeah.
It was just done.
But it sounds very much like the Anderson consulting plan that the Ontario government bought for, $180 million here.
Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah.
And I wondered if it's the same sort of thing where this consultant went to the provincial government in B.C. and said, look, I've got the solution to your problem, pay me this money, and we'll just close down all your offices.
Yeah, well, we lost our offices here. We lost our courthouse. We have it back now.
Wow.
And, I mean, that makes it hard, too, for welfare clients to attend court hearings.
And this is all over B.C., right?
Yeah. A lot of it's been cut, yeah.
Okay, so what does a welfare recipient have to do? They call a call center.
Yep.
And then what happens?
Well, if they aren't already on the system, they have to do a three-week job search before they can even get on the system.
On their own or through the government?
No, they have to do it on their own. Then they have to do an orientation on a computer at our local college campus or at our skill center.
Okay.
Or even from home they can do it. Then they wait for a phone appointment, which in most cases now, instead of just doing the three-week job search and immediately getting an appointment and whatever, it winds up being 6 weeks before you're on the system.
What happened to change that?
Delays in getting appointments, delays in staffing, delays. It just compounded.
Because there's less staff, everything's pushed back.
Yep.
Okay. And then when did the Jobs Now part of this program come into being there?
2 years ago it was added.
2 years.
Yep.
I think they like to do it for a two-year run. I think that's what we've got here in Ontario. I think, from my understanding, our directors here in the city of Hamilton were basically told it's a two-year program, we run it, and you just basically monitor it.
Yeah, and if I understand, I trained another advocate over the last couple of days in child apprehension law, and one of the things that she mentioned to me, because in her area, Job Now is no longer, so we're already seeing that program being dumped.
What happened to the clients that are supposed to get a job permanently out of Jobs Now?
Most of them were either transferred to a different job program, or in a couple cases, they've been cut off.
So the idea is you're cut off in 2 years. You do the Job Now thing. You're supposed to be able to get trained, keep the job that you found, and don't go back to welfare.
That's right.
But they can't go back to welfare then, can they?
No.
What do they do?
If they haven't been fully employed for 2 years previously, when they apply for welfare, they cannot get on.
Is that for the first time to get on welfare or after they've gone through the Jobs Now program?
It works both ways.
That's kind of stupid. I want to think about this one for a minute. You're saying they have to work for 2 years before they can get welfare to begin with?
Yes. They have to be 2 years independent before they can get... And that basically is for the younger generation, like the young kids that are coming in.
Okay, I can see it as a dissuasion tactic, but what about a single mom who can't work? What happens to her?
Well, right now we're getting, every year, they're losing money. Every year they get cut back.
Yeah, because
inflation. So eventually they're cut off.
Oh, it's not just inflation, you mean? It's their money is so slowly dwindled down from them?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
They lose their, they cannot keep any child maintenance. It's taken dollar for dollar. They cannot earn income unless they're on PPMB, which is our Persons with Persistent Multiple Barriers to Employment, or our PWD, which is Persons with Disabilities Program.
Wow.
Those two programs, they can earn money and keep a certain amount of it.
What percentage do you know?
For PWD and PPMB, it's for $500 they're allowed to make over and above their check and keep it. Regular income assistance clients, they lose it dollar for dollar, any money they make.
Well, then there's no point to work.
That's right.
That's rather stupid. Okay. A lot of frightening things going on in BC, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's move back to the Jobs Now program.
Sure.
You're saying that there are seven different agencies out there. So if a client goes through Jobs Now and doesn't get to keep the job, they're cut off welfare.
But they can be, yeah.
They can be. But yep. You mean there's a possibility they can still keep their welfare?
There's a possibility they can, but usually they wind up being transferred to a different program, and then they have to complete that program or stay with that program till they find full-time employment so that they're no longer on the system.
So, in other words, they're still being carried by the system financially, but they're still given options to find work. So they're really pushed to find work.
Yeah, and in some cases they are cut off. I have two that were recently cut off that I'm going to have to sit down with, and we're going to have to look at whether we can appeal the decision and what that's going to look like. And our appeal process here takes forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like here, too. I see. Well, do you think that there is an advantage from this kind of program for the young and the healthy, able-bodied that can work, just can't find a job? Do you think it's working that way?
Yes and no. Because there's no concessions made for clients who have learning disabilities.
Okay. Well, I mean, young and healthy, able to work, no disabilities, no nothing to hold them back except finding a job.
It works most of the time for that particular issue. The only times I haven't seen it work is when they're forced into a job that is way above them being able to manage.
Mm-hmm. Do they get training then?
Well, our on-the-job training with that program, from my perspective, it's not as clear as it should be.
Hmm.
I mean, the criteria for them to have that type of program and to be involved in that type of program, the clients aren't given the opportunity to be explained things. They're not, things aren't explained to them well enough.
Is it because the workers don't know?
No, it's the staffing.
The staff doesn't know? Or is it attitudinal?
It actually works from both ends because, I mean, you get the Job Now staff, right? They'll put somebody into a job, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they don't understand the job and they don't understand the client they're working with, it might not be suited for that client at all. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot?
It happens a lot, eh?
Yeah.
So they don't keep the job? They're not trained? I mean, it sounds to me like they're not being trained enough in the first place for the job, which is silly, or that they're not qualified for the job, period. The matching isn't right.
The matching's hardly ever right.
Well, from my understanding, what we have happening here in Ontario is there isn't any training either, not even for when you're on the job as you have in BC. Apparently.
And, well, the only reason we have that piece in BC is because there's been a lot of noise.
Oh, I see.
When they first instituted it, the first 6 months, we noticed a huge, huge lack of clients being trained to do the job they're doing.
So
and then they're getting injured.
Oh.
Or it was something, I mean, you throw a 19-year-old who's never worked, who's always been in school, into a job that's like way over their head. It's like they're not going to be able to function and do the job. And there was turnover after turnover after turnover in
the
first 6 months.
So it was a big waste of money, which is what prompted the government, obviously, to decide to do some training.
Yeah, and even that training wasn't enough. I mean, we got some, but we didn't get a whole lot.
Yeah, the government always seems to miss that link about training.
Yeah, they do.
Doesn't matter which province or what level. There seems to be some big hole of lack of knowledge. But here, so far, we don't have any training. Apparently, WGS has dictated the program, and they will select the clients.
Yes.
And so that means if you're on welfare and you go into your welfare worker's office or the job site location and look at a job and you can see it on the computer and you want to apply, if it's through the Jobs Now program, you're not even able to apply.
That's right.
If they choose you, and apparently it's the choice is made over a length of time, I think, rather than qualifications.
6 weeks.
Which I find a little silly, you know. If they choose you because it's time, they're still not choosing you because of the qualifications. So you're sitting there looking at a screen, waiting 6 more weeks to get this job you think you might be able to do, but you're not getting any training.
Yep.
And then you get the job with Jobs Now. Apparently you're supposed to hold that job for 2 years.
Yep.
And I don't know if they're kicked off welfare here as they are in BC yet. That remains to be seen. But they're worried here. They want to know what happened in BC and what to look for. So.
Well, I mean, you know, and I mean, not every single client gets cut off.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when, okay, somebody screwed up somewhere. This isn't going to work. Maybe we should have started this person off in a smaller position or in a different type of position. I mean, one of the biggest things we're finding here is a lot of times they're throwing them into fast food places.
Yeah, the minimum wage jobs.
And
that's exactly
here,
what they said here, too.
Yeah, and in Ontario and out here, people can't survive on minimum wage. And out here, we have a startup of $6 an hour.
Yeah, and people can't live on $6 an hour.
And that's only a training wage, too.
Yeah.
So a lot of businesses, and I don't know if it's because they found the loophole or what, but they'll keep them for their 6 weeks training and then dump them.
Well, yeah, I think that is a loophole that they're taking advantage of, and that's not new. You know, that's something that companies that have been grabbing government money to train the unemployed have been doing for decades, at least here.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little more cautious about actually accusing them, even though I know that's what they're doing.
I know it's a shame that they're sending them to fast food. How much training do you need for fast food? I mean, kids manage to get trained on those jobs pretty easily by themselves.
Yeah, they do.
So putting them into a fast food as a starting point under that program does a lot of things that aren't correct, which is one of the things is it removes that job possibility for a student.
Yes.
Or somebody that's retired looking just to supplement.
Right.
So why would the government want to spend all that money on a consultant to find these jobs if all they're finding is McDonald's?
Well, I mean, they found a couple others, too, but, I mean, I wouldn't write home about the jobs, if you know what I mean. I mean, they're not maybe, well, you know, like, and it's usually those 19-year-olds that they're shoving into these positions. And a lot of them, they're only, like, here for the year, and then they're going to go back to school or whatever.
Yeah.
But then now, we can't even afford to do that out here.
What
I have
do you mean?
Several clients that would love to go back to school, but we can't.
Why?
Well, number one, tuition. Number two, if all they're going to get is minimum wage jobs, they're not going to be able to put enough money, you know.
So you have a lot of overlapping problems, same as we have in this province, but The Jobs Now program is the specifics exposed.
I mean, all the job programs scare me. They really do. They all scare me. They all scare all of us advocates.
What? Why?
Well, because the consultants are the ones that basically tell welfare how things are going to be.
Yeah, and they don't know anything about social work.
No, they don't. I mean, you send a client who, and even if they're not mentally challenged or have any disability, you send a client down to a job, if you haven't given them at least the enough verbal skills to get through an interview, it's a waste of everybody's time and money.
So it's the same here then. So it's a consultant making money from the government, stepping in, marketing themselves, slickly marketing themselves, like Anderson did when they decided that all those computers that we were using here had to be revamped and it would make a much better system. So it's just another consultant scam. And I like to call them scams because that's basically what it is. It's not really doing business. There's no morality in it. It's just a money-making exercise using money from the government to take advantage, once again, of the homeless and the poor and the unemployed.
Right. And one of the things that we found here with several of them, including JobNow, was if you're a person that has a minor disability and you have a chance at going back to school to get an education, the hoops you have to jump through, the paperwork you have to do, only to be told that you can't unless you do it in a specific area, even with medical documentation saying, no, they can do it on their own computer at home for their because of their disability, you're not allowed to do that.
Why? Why can't they work from home on their computer?
Well, I'll use myself as an example. I'm disabled. I had a chance to take my paralegal training through Goshen Consulting. And, of course, they have to refer me to the training society, and then I go back to the Goshen after I'm done. Well, unless I'm going to do it on our local college campus with fluorescent lighting and whatever and do it 5 hours a day,
full-time in
school.
At
the college, they won't give me the funding to do it.
Okay, so they're not recognizing anybody with any kind of a handicap whatsoever.
Not from my perspective, no.
You have to be healthy, able-bodied, and able to go to school full-time. So that's just about the same as anybody out there. You don't have to be looking for a social service program to be in that predicament, it would seem. Any kid going out and just graduating from high school is in that position. So they're, I don't know, it sounds to me like it's a complete waste of money.
Well, with them, it's they got to account for numbers at the college, right, in order to get their funding. They have to account for, and the same with Goshen and all the other consulting companies, they have to account for their numbers.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. So they go to the college and say, we'll link in with the government, we'll set up a program. It forces a number of students to come here for training, and everybody's happy except for the poor person who isn't getting educated or can't go. It isn't getting a job. So it's not helping anybody. Nobody's really, I mean, I guess you wouldn't know the stats, but it doesn't sound to me like anybody's coming out of this whole program able to keep a job permanently.
Well, I have a couple of them that have.
And what
but that was me pushing the issue of, no, they can't do something like that.
What kind of jobs were they? What makes those two people the exception to the masses?
Well, they had a lot of extra support, too. They had a lot of extra support around making sure they had appropriate daycare. They had support around somebody who advocated for them that, no, they're trying to put them in a position that they'd fail.
What do you mean, like family help?
They had family help. They had my help. They had outside help from their physician or you know, I pull in all the stops when it comes to certain situations.
All kinds of help except from the government.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the program did give them a more oriented job to them, but it was only with a lot of pushing.
Yeah, so, I mean, they could probably have done it without all the interference of the government.
Yeah, once she realized that she was, you know, able to do these things, yeah.
Yeah, so it's another, again, it comes up, a waste of time. It's just a consultant taking advantage of a situation.
Yeah.
It's not doing the job then. The sell point is 2 years, we find the jobs, we will find those jobs that the government can't find for these clients and the clients can't find. You pay us this money and we'll do a data research, we'll do data mining, we'll find the jobs, And we'll tell you what kind of clients you can send us, because there's so many jobs out there. Well, if there's so many jobs out there, why are people unemployed?
Yeah. And the other thing everybody needs to remember, too, once they're stuck on a particular job program,
mm-hmm.
if they need to change job programs for whatever reason, it could be that the personality conflict, it could be anything, they won't be allowed to do it.
Why?
Because they have to use up the time frame. Once they're attached to a consultant program,
mm-hmm. once they sign up for a program,
they have to stay with that program till the contract's up.
And how long are the contracts?
Some of them are a year, some of them are 2 years,
wow.
some of them are 6 months, depending on the program.
I see.
And one of the things everybody needs to know is the clients need to keep track of when their contract would be up.
Has it been a problem?
Yeah, because what happens if they don't, like a month before,
yes.
say to them, well, I don't want to renew my contract with this program, I want to be transferred to a different one, they're stuck with that program again.
If so, if they're not paying attention, nobody's going to tell them.
That's right.
Oh, that's a very good piece of advice. Is that intentional, do you think?
Yeah. From my perspective, yes.
For what reason would that be?
Because the more clients they have, the more money they get.
Right. So if the client...
It's a numbers game.
Yeah, so if the client is wise enough to know that their time is up and they leave, they lose a number. But if nothing's said and people forget, then they take advantage of that.
AHA, which is our Ontario Health Association. We also have had outside grants given to us for our building to renovate it and start it up.
Okay, so this is a self-made job, isn't it?
My original program, yes, was. This one here, we're under the direction of Canadian Mental Health and under the direction of Interior Health
mm-hmm.
in BC. So, I mean, we've had a lot of good feedback because it's an issue that's been needed
mm-hmm.
where mental health clients are kind of left in the...
Yeah, the ones that fall through the cracks and you're out there on the streets, are you with you?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
It's a peer mentoring program where we work with certain clients one-on-one.
Well, this sounds like it's been quite needed and that you're doing a good job. And we're just about out of time now for this conversation, but we'd like to stay in touch. Thank you for so much for all this information you've given us. And I'm going to give out this address here, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
For people that want more information on what Alice Daniels is doing out in BC and have their own questions about these job work programs, she is with the Revelstoke Awareness and Outreach Program. You can probably find that on the web. I've got a P.O. Box 1587, Revelstoke, B.C., and I won't give out your phone number, but did you have an email address that you won't mind people having?
Oh, they can have my email address. That's not a problem.
Okay, and I've got Alice, capital V-C-A, at telus.net. Is that correct?
Actually, it's all in lowercase there.
Okay. Alice, V-C-A, at telus.net. Thank you very much, Alice.
Well, I'm hoping it was quite helpful and that everybody does be very, very cautious of these job programs.
Okay, thanks for that tip.
Defining Radio.
CFRU.